Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Now, you heard there in the news about house prices maybe going to rise by another 10%. Is it a threat to our economy? The boom is back. Is there a bubble that's about to burst? All of that is being said again. It feels like 2006 all over again in some ways. But house hunters queued for up to 36 hours recently as they waited for a chance to buy one of a new property, 24 houses in North Dublin. This is also as financial services group Friends First have been talking about, I suppose, and talking up the fact that the property market is about to possibly continue in its climb by another 10%. And our reporter, Paul Quinn, went out and about to ask people on the street what they think of people queuing to buy a house.
You should be able to just walk into an office and just do your business and without queuing up and having like a big competition like this. It's ridiculous. It really is. Like, you should be able to walk in anywhere, sit down, and without having to have that stress. If you really wanted something, then have the stress and having to go. And if you're getting your house or not.
It started again. It started again. And have we learned anything? Because the last time this happened, we had a massive recession in this country. And we're heading for it again. And the powers that be are blinded. They don't see it. I feel sorry for those people. Between 400,000 and 500,000 euros to buy a property, putting themselves into hock because they're desperate. It's going to happen again. And maybe they should wait and they might get a house cheaper when this all collapses again, because that's my opinion. I feel it's just going to blow up all over again.
Yeah.
I do. I have young children and they're in college and I don't know what hope they have. I can only suggest that they go and emigrate, because the properties outside of this country are much, much cheaper than what they are here. But it's a disaster and it's going to happen again. It's coming down the road.
That's reality. They know what it is now for the homeless now being out all night in the cold.
Would you queue overnight for a house like that?
Do I look stupid? Seriously? Would I queue? I won't even queue outside for a shop. Never mind that now. A house? Queue out? No way. I have a sleeping bed. That'll do me.
What I'm saying is, the queue now, at least they get something at the end of it. Look at the poor homeless people. But, like, I mean, you see them all in the doorways there in the mountains. You know, it is crazy. And that's okay, that's them. What about the people that has children? They should be building houses. And all them houses that they're all locked up to, they should reopen them.
Exactly.
They should open them.
All them flats, you walk up there to Dorset Street, Donnelly Street, there's hundreds of flats empty.
Hundreds. Flats empty.
And there's a load of people on the waiting list. That is ridiculous.
Would you queue overnight for that, for a house?
It all depends. If I was getting it, I would queue. But why queue if you're not going to get it? Queue, yeah, I want it. I'm buying it. I need it.
There you go. Would you queue for a house? Have you queued for a house? I know certainly where I live, there was houses came on the market recently and you could see the queue going up the street from the local estate agent's office. So it's certainly happening around the country. And to discuss all of this, I'm joined now by Carol Tallon, author of the Property Insiders series. Carol, you're very welcome.
Hi, Ciara. I'm afraid I'm just so annoyed. I'm actually trying to calm myself down now before this interview. It's been a long time since I've been so annoyed over a news piece, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm condemning the behaviour of buyers. Even though, to be honest, I am. It's nonsense.
Why are you annoyed?
I cannot believe that lessons have not been learned in the past. I cannot believe that we are allowing the property narrative and the housing narrative to go the way of, if you don't buy today, you won't be able to buy tomorrow, you won't get your foot on the ladder. I mean, we just need to move away from the idea that there is such a thing. You know, I feel like people are being, certainly potential buyers are being pressured again, being told, look, if you can afford to buy now and if you can get a mortgage now, if you don't buy, you won't ever be able to buy again. And we should know by now that that's simply not the case. Every functioning property market operates in a cycle. And I think for about a decade and a half, that wasn't true in Ireland. And we paid the price for that.
Okay.
You know, we should have learned from the consequences of that. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I don't know about anybody else, but I certainly still see and to a certain extent feel the effects of the last crash. So I find it difficult to believe that an entire generation of buyers are set to repeat the same mistakes.
Do you think, Carol, though, that things like Friends First have come out and said the property market might grow by 10% this year? Do you think those kinds of little sound bites that come out actually often from lenders or from estate agents, to be fair, they often come out from people who are not, you know, disinterested bystanders to the property market. Do you think that feeds into, though, the fear and the feeling of, oh, my God, if I don't jump in now and buy this house now, that I'll pay more down the line or I won't get it at all?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I mean, look, we're not going to throw around the phrase turkeys and Christmas, but the reality is that this kind of media coming out is absolutely unhelpful to buyers. Because, and actually, it's quite inaccurate as well, because, you know, yes, it is absolutely a possibility that house prices may increase by 10% over the next year. And in fact, historically, they do increase by 7% on a year-by-year basis in Ireland. And I see in the same report that respected economist Jim Power said that he sees no sign of slowdown. Now, genuinely, I'm not sure if I agree with that. But on the other side of it, I want Jim Power to be wrong. Because if he's not wrong, if we don't start to see signs of a slowdown, we are going to end up with a great big bang. And we've already seen the consequences of that. So, in fact, we want to see a slowdown.
Yeah.
And I would just point out that this report does contradict the findings of the most recent property portals. Both Daft and My Home are in agreement that the rate of growth has actually decreased in the last quarter.
And Dublin has kind of levelled, hasn't it? And I know what you're saying about respected economists, but respected economists have been wrong before. I mean, they talked about soft landings and all, and sure, we all fell through the floor. You know, there was no soft landing there. It was like landing on rocks. So, I mean, we have to take a certain amount of a pinch of salt, even from people who are experts in the field, that not everyone can read this situation, because there are things like Brexit that are unknown and unknowable in terms of what they will impact on our economy.
Absolutely. And in fact, one of the things that I felt most strongly about over the last decade in Ireland, I think if anything, it proved that we really don't have any experts in the holistic sense, because it requires a certain amount of crystal ball gazing, and you know that's a very uncertain skill for somebody to have. And I think in light of not just Brexit uncertainty, but in fact there's global uncertainty. In fact, you know, we talk about the construction industry and how it's booming, and it should be because of our demand for housing. Yet we've seen two very high profile main contractors going through the examinership process in the last 2 months. So it would be quite naive to think we need houses, we've people to build them, we've people to fund them, let's build them and all will be happy and we'll never have a downturn again. That's simply not the case. Property is cyclical, and at the moment what we're seeing is a response to pent-up demand and people who couldn't get financing for a while. And it absolutely is not functional that we're selling, you know, former council houses and three-bed semis in Dublin for 10 times wage.
Is it possible, Carol, that this is a PR stunt? Because lots of people are texting the show and tweeting us as well, going, PR stunt, they put people in a queue outside their shop and then everyone gets into a, gosh, I have to join that queue scenario. Would we be cynical enough to believe that that might be a possibility?
Well, I may have on social media used the word agent stunt yesterday because, and obviously, you know, you have to be careful in these situations, but I think it's worth pointing out the coincidence that the last twice this has happened in a high-profile way have been with the same agents.
That's curious.
So I think that's not a coincidence, possibly.
Okay.
So, yes, I definitely did use the word agent stunt yesterday on social media, and I stand by that.
Lastly, though, can you understand, because I hear what you're saying, and if you're saying anything, I think you're saying, like, don't feed this monster and kind of chill
don't
a little
feed
bit
this
and,
monster.
And all of that. But you can understand, we're sort of saying, buyers, you have power in this, you know, act as a group and be sensible. But they're not acting as a group, they're acting as individuals or in competition with each other. So that's why this could be happening. Can you understand why somebody who really has a limited amount of money, maybe, and is maxed out and wants to live in a certain area, and there's 25 houses or 35 houses come on the market, that they, you know, we queue for Ed Sheeran tickets. A house is important if you're going to have it for the rest of your life.
Kira, it is important, but I think there, would you said there that people that have limited limited budget. But actually, if you look at the people who are queuing, I mean, they're queuing and they don't even know where the asking price is going to be. So the people who are queuing at the moment are queuing since Monday for properties that are only going to go on the market Friday. And all they know is that the price range is between 300,000 and 500,000. So I would respectfully point out that there's not a shortage of finance here. There's a shortage of information and knowledge. And look, can I just leave one very practical step here for buyers? Don't feel pressured into buying. If what you're looking for is not available now, take a look at your local authority website. Look at planning applications that have been lodged. Look at commencement notices that have been lodged. And then you can, in a very certain and in a very credible way, you'll be able to find out what is the future pipeline of houses and apartments in your area. Look for commencement notices. So where have schemes already started? And then you'll see that, okay, well, actually, there's likely to be 200-300 houses over the next 18 months. So actually, we don't need to jump now. And I would also point out that this whole discussion is referring to new homes. There's actually a massive opportunity for second-hand houses. And I think a really important point was made in the report coming from the people that were queuing overnight. Because I do believe that there's an element that they're being manipulated into that situation. If you look, one of the ladies actually said that she felt there was no alternative to queuing for a new house because it had a fixed price, because she was not comfortable going through the bidding system, the traditional bidding system that we have with estate agents at the moment, and her fear of being outbid. So in fact, what that tells me is we don't need to queue overnight for houses. What we need to do is employ technology that already exists to allow buyers to bid for properties online or in person, but in a transparent way that's fair and honest. And fully transparent.
Yeah, some great advice there about looking at the commencement notices and all. Thank you for that. Indeed, that is Carol Tallon, their author of the Property Insiders series, and lots of you getting involved. I mean, houses are very close to our heart for whatever reason in Ireland. Someone says, why don't we stop the sale of homes in phases? This will stop price hikes between phase one and phase two. I'll tell you, in the North Dublin development we're talking about, they haven't even said what the actual cost will be. They've just taken the deposits and said it'll be in and around this figure, so people don't even know what they're paying. And someone else says, what about the hundreds of thousands of houses in towns and cities all over the country that are vacant? Tax relief to get people to live above shops. Easier to provide services for people living in centralised areas rather than one-off housing and more commuting. And one of our listeners is on the line at the moment. It is Paul. Paul, what do you think about the scenario that we're looking at, which I remember from when I bought my first house too? People queuing for a couple of days in their winter clothes outside estate agents and outside building development places, hoping that they can put a deposit down on a house.
Hi, Gary. It's not an ideal situation, but it's also one that is completely understandable. If you look at people who are in the property market, or people who are looking to buy, the property market is an incredibly inhospitable and demoralising place to be, particularly now as prices go up and new builds are slow to come onto the market.
Okay. Have you, like, you're a journalist as well yourself. You're obviously interested in this area. It's a very difficult one because you've heard hopefully what Carol says there, that we are feeding the monster as buyers by looking sort of desperate. And you know, it's very easy to play hardball with anybody if they look like they're desperate. But there aren't a huge amount of alternatives while we have such a low housing supply. You know, as somebody who's wanted to buy and has been a buyer, what kind of protections do you think we would be better off having there?
Well, I mean, the simplest thing is for estate agents to treat people who are buying houses like people, to treat them on a human level with a bit of decency, because the way that the developers and estate agents involved in this sale, the particular sale, are treating people is completely inhumane, asking them to give up a week of their life, not telling them the price. But it's very easy for Carol to say, look, don't feed the monster. The monster's there to be fed because there's a complete lack of housing supply. If you look at the these houses will probably come in around €325,000. I'm from the area. Living in the previous phase. The houses will come in roughly around between €320,000 and €340,000 for the first, kind of the first band of houses, the three-bed semis. If you look on daft.ie for a similar house, three-bedroom house in the Dublin 15 area, under 325,000 euros, there's 39 houses. Now, you take away the ones that you don't like. Let's say, and you are entitled not to like a house.
Yeah.
You're entitled not to feel comfortable with the way a house is laid
out.
And
some of them would probably need money spent on them too. They'd be second-hand houses too.
Exactly.
And they'd be dishevelled in some way.
Exactly, and that was what kind of drove myself, my fiance, into buying a new built house. We started looking last January. We looked at 22 houses in the Dublin 15 area. We went from being outbidded on houses. My fiance at one stage was in an open house where the estate agent was yelling the current bid as people walked around. There was an open viewing, so people were going to her, telling them their bids. There was one house that we went to view. We were set to make a bid on, and by the time we got to the viewing, we were already 15,000 euro behind.
Okay. And was that incredibly stressful, Paul?
Like that
kind of level of tension in the room. It was like a quasi auction, even though you didn't think you were going to an auction.
The thing about it, with the lack of supply and with the, I suppose, when you're confined to one area or you're looking in one area, what it does is it makes you look at everyone in the room as a competitor.
Mm.
So you get to an open viewing, and the way they do open viewings, you might have three different estate agents, but they'll have them arranged at 11:15, 11:30, 11:45, and they're all very close by. So they know that the same people will be in the same area. So you get to every viewing, and you're looking at everyone who pulls up, and you're looking at their cars, and you're going, how much do you think they can afford?
I have more money, or I have less money than them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at people and you're going, I know they're a private landlord. I know that they're buying this to rent it out. They're probably going to be able to outbid me or bid the same as me, and they're not going to have to worry about putting money into it in the end. Because some of the houses we went to see were absolutely, like, they weren't even disheveled. They were absolutely
wrecked.
Disgusting.
We'd
one where the shower basin was so dirty that you wouldn't actually be able to clean it. You would have to be ripped out. So you were looking at minimum a new bathroom.
Yeah.
The kitchen was the same. So
is that what it felt like? It felt like you were all in competition with each other. Because it's all very well to say everyone sit back and chill and don't dance to their tune, as it were, the seller's tune. But when you're in competition for a scarce resource, that's easier said than done.
Absolutely. And that's what, it's very easy to say, look, don't move, don't dance to their tune. But once somebody flinches, if everyone, let's say we all agreed as the people looking for houses, let's say all of those people who are queuing for those houses today decided en masse, look, we'll all go home, we'll arrive back on Friday, we'll try and, do this with a little bit more decency. All it takes is one person to not do that, or somebody
to be first out of the trap. Yeah, exactly. Look, thank you for talking to us. That is Paul Hosford there, who is actually a journalist with The Journal. And as he says, when you want to buy a house and you're looking at the other people at the open viewings and you're trying to work out who has the most money or the least money or whatever, you feel like you're in competition, certainly. Another one of our listeners, Kieran, is on the line. Kieran, what do you think about this scenario that we should, if we are trying to buy, we should try and not be the one who blinks first or what have you, and not queue and not do any of that stuff?
Well, for me, Kieran, it's quite simple. It's a supply and demand situation. And I know people keep harping back to the, say, 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a fair comparison, because the big issue back then was the reckless lending.
Totally, yeah.
And I don't think that practice is applicable today. The bank is very strict with regards to 3.5 times your salary. In 2006, you'd have people on an average wage with maybe 2, 3, 4 properties. People on a salary of 30, 40,000, but borrowing 500,000, 600,000.
Yeah,
that's not
that's
sustainable.
True.
And that practice doesn't happen today.
So
that's why I think people are saying the bubble is going to crash. I suspect everybody that was queuing had proven they have an ability to repay their mortgage, weren't overextending themselves, and were probably only borrowing 3.5 times their salary. And therefore, I can't foresee this bubble, because as far as I can see, there's no actual reckless lending.
So
was the big issue back in 2000.
You think that the loose credit was what fueled the bubble at the time, and that's what pushed up the house prices? But now what's pushing up the house prices is the limited housing stock. Is that what you're saying?
It's absolutely. I mean, it's clear as day. It's over demand and under supply.
Mm-hmm.
So people are, maybe they are panicking, but in terms of another bubble bursting, I mean, I don't see people overextending themselves. I don't see people borrowing too much, and I don't see the banks or mortgage providers actually allowing people to borrow more that they can prove that they can repay. Therefore, I don't see a bubble bursting.
Do you think that the house prices now are approximately back where they were in about, I think, someone will correct me if I'm wrong, about 2005-ish. So they're almost back to where they were. But that's 13 years later. If we were told that the house prices in 2006 would have stayed constant or would have, you know, not gone up at all over the next 12 years, we would have thought that was a levelling of the market. Do you think that the house prices coming back up now is actually like a correction? Because they had fallen so significantly, particularly apartments. Apartments had lost 2/3 of their value or whatever. They had 70-odd% of their value in some cases. Do you think this could be just a correction of the fact that it was too high, then it was too low, and now it's come slowly back up so that actually we're at a kind of a steady state over a 15-year period?
I think one thing people didn't foresee was the speed and how quick the house prices rose again. Yeah. Now, obviously, nobody could foresee how quickly they drop in value, you know, 50% overnight. But yeah, possibly it is a bit of a correction, in fairness here. But ultimately, from my main point of view, really, is that the bubble I can't see is going
fair
to bust. Because I don't see there being a bubble at the minute.
Are you a buyer? Are you a homeowner yourself?
I am, yeah, I did. I took the plunge about 8 or 9 months ago. So I'm just recently on the property ladder. So I've been through it, and the amount of information we had to provide,
yeah,
and the amount of checks and balances that they went through, and
very stressful.
I'm sure it is for other people, and I'm not trying to be flippant in any
no
way,
I hear you form. You sound to me like you're a fairly chilled person.
Well, it just so happened that, you know, we had a bit of luck, and maybe we were just in the right place at the right time. In fact, without going into too much detail, the person selling the house wanted rid of it quickly.
Okay.
So, two people, they said highest bid gets a sort of thing.
Right place, right time.
Pure chance. Yeah. Pure chance. But that's not to say that it's not very stressful for other people.
Good stuff. Listen, thank you for talking to me as well. Thanks, Mary Karen. Another one of our listeners, Darren, is on the line. Darren, what do you make of it? Is the boom back and boomier than ever?
I don't know if the boom is back. I mean, I think you were just referring to it there. I don't think house prices still haven't fully recovered, although they're heading that direction to what they were in the boom. I think the biggest problem we have is not just the number of new homes that's being built.
Yeah.
The amount of second-hand homes that are for sale is very low by normal standards. And I think the reason for that is anybody that's living in a home they already have, they can't move.
Yeah.
Well, most people can't move because we're now required to provide a 20% deposit to go on and trade up whatever, whether it's due to a bigger family or whatever.
Yeah.
These homes are starter homes that first-time buyers today could be accessing, but they can't because they're not on the market. And I don't understand why the banks are asking somebody who has a proven track record of paying their mortgage to now stump up a 20% deposit to move home. Like, it just makes it a...
Would it be, though, Darren, if you had a house already and wanted to move, though, that the 20% deposit would come from the equity within the house that you have?
But if you go back to 2005, 2006, I bought in 2006 personally.
Yeah. God,
who
love you.
Who has that equity in their home?
Yeah, well, that's true.
So you're basically saying to that generation of people, you cannot move.
Yeah.
Because how do you pay your mortgage and come up with a 20% deposit? I mean, all I hear is the poor first-time buyer. The poor first-time buyer can buy a house cheaper today than I could in 2006.
Yeah, that's true.
They only have to provide a 10% deposit and not a 20%. So where does the market function if you're telling a group of people you can't move because
you're one of the bunch that got caught buying in a really expensive time about 12 years ago. No real equity in your house because it may be coming back to where it was, but it fell so much that even if it comes back to where it was, plus, of course, you were probably overstretched and multiples of your income buying it because everybody was. And so you're actually trapped in a house that mightn't suit you anymore and you can't put it on the market and it might suit somebody else better. But because of the circumstances of the last decade, not having caught up with you yet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, we just don't, that generation don't have the equity in their home. But yet the bank is telling, and I still have never heard to this day somebody explain to me why somebody, if you want to have it as a second property, you might have to provide a bigger deposit. But if you just want to move home, why do you need to provide a bigger deposit than somebody else? I mean, and you, as I said, you could have a track record of paying your mortgage. A first-time buyer has no history
Yeah. All right. Look,
proven. You know,
I take your point. I really do, because I thank you for that. That is Darren there, one of our listeners, and I do take his point. We do talk about the first time buyers, and I have loads of sympathy for them. But there are people who are trapped still in a house that maybe they can't afford, or that doesn't suit them, and they're still barely out of negative equity, if they're out of negative equity at all. And that must be a tough road too, if you've had a couple of kids over the last 10 years or whatever. Still a load of fallout from what happened to us as a country in terms of the property bubble bursting. Someone says, we bought our house in 2014 off the plans after the builder offered a list of 9 houses for sale on a best bid offer. It was an extremely difficult process to decide what bid to put in. Yeah, I'm sure it was, absolutely. When I checked the property price register afterwards, there were a difference in house purchase prices of up to 25,000 for the same type of house. The underlying issue is supply and demand, and this ultimately comes back to availability of finance. I think that's probably true. Someone else says, surely it's illegal, Ciara, to sell anything without a genuine selling price. Houses, cars, washing machines, etc. Someone should phone the consumer watchdog. You may well be right. And Lara says, let's not get ahead of ourselves price-wise. I see an apartment for sale at 10% lower price than the one I sold beside it in 2003. So lots of people with different views on this. Let us know what you think. 53106. Should you queue? Should you not queue? Do you understand why people queue? We would love to hear from you. Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes, and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.